Season 2, Episode 16, Un-American Graffiti.
Clever.
Clever shit. It opens up with them at a crime scene. A young Puerto Rican kid was beaten to death by, according to witness testimony, two dudes. They got one guy just started beating him. Another guy drove up, got out of a car, and then they beat him to death and then ran away. One is a young girl who's like 16 who testifies, who gives her statement. And then another guy named Walter Hoyt.
Walter Hoyt,
he is an artist, and they ask him to describe the guys, and he says, mesomorphs.
Yeah.
And then Sipowicz says, those guys are as good as in custody.
Well, it's funny that Sipowicz doesn't like him at first, because he's an intellectual, and like an artist, and like, that bugs him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that bugs Sipowicz a lot, but they kind of grow on each other as it goes on, but yeah. Funny.
Later in the episode, because that Walter Hoyt guy comes back, later in the episode, him and Sipowicz have a sit-down talk, and he's like, so you're an artist, what do you do? And he says, I'm redefining negative space. Like, it's...
Whatever the fuck that means.
Well, he gives a bunch of art jargon that, like, I desperately kind of want to go to, like, some art websites and go, does that actually mean anything, what he said? Or were, like, the...
I've learned through artists that they'll take anything and make it mean something. They'll take some bullshit and make it mean something.
Because, like, I wonder if the writers of NYPD Blue just heard that at some party, where some artist was there, in quotes, and said that, and they're like, well, we gotta put that in an episode, and we have a weird art character.
Yeah, he's a cool character. I like the way he plays him and the way they like made him, and he was perfect for like what was going on in the scene,
mm-hmm.
or in this episode. And he does come back too. He comes back in later episodes as a recurring character. But yeah, it was cool.
He also plays a very good like he plays like the kind of artist that would actually kind of be cool to hang out with. Like he doesn't seem super pompous. He just seems weird.
Like he just seems, he doesn't seem like he like. In the beginning of the story, he talks about how he went down to the deli to get like a sandwich, and it seems that's his routine.
Mm-hmm.
Like he seems a little bit Asperger-y to me. Like he has a set routine. He doesn't really like leave his apartment unless he has to. Like he lives in a bad neighborhood because he's comfortable there, but he and like just stuff like that. But anyways, yeah.
After the initial crime scene, they come back to the house. As we know, Abbandando and Medavoy are on
the outs.
They're on the rocky ground. They're not doing very well.
They're on the Rocky Mountains.
And he's been on her Rocky Mountains. What? What?
And deep in her valley.
Oh, that's rude. But true. Anyway, Ratansky shows up.
Yeah.
Her ex-boyfriend, the hockey player shows up because someone's been vandalizing his car. It's clear Abbandando's, like, sitting there, and then Ratansky goes, so, you want to come by the bar? Like, let's hit it up. Let's talk it out. And she's just shut down, not wanting to talk to him, and gives him over to Martinez. And as she walks him over to the desk, he's like, so you got the pennant. That was a wild night. Does that mean his signature's on that pennant?
I don't know. Or... is he making a comment of like, oh, when we won the pennant?
But he also no, cause, he was right.
Hockey players don't win a pennant. It's only in baseball.
Yeah, like the those are what those things are called, right? The thing she has up in her.
Yeah, it's a pennant. But in baseball, when you win
the pennant.
Your division. So like you know how they have the NL and the AL,
mm-hmm.
the two different divisions within the league.
Mm-hmm.
If you win that, if you win the NL, if you're the winner of the NL, you won the pennant. And so the way is they would give you one of those that said, like, NL champs. And so, like, it became this thing, like, oh, you won the pennant, you're the pennant winner. So, and that's what those things are called. But hockey doesn't have that, or have that saying. So, it has to be like, oh, that's the night I got you the pennant, and then fucked your brains out. That's
what I think it is. Well, just for...
That's what I think it is.
Just for clarification, we had a direct tweet from a gentleman, blank and stuff, on Twitter. Basically, he said, if you haven't recorded the episode about this yet, he gave us a couple things that he thought about. And one was, Ratansky mentions that pennant, But, like, he was on the Rangers, and according to Abbandando, that's signed. So does that mean they met when she got those signatures and then just, like, bone-zoned it while he was married?
I actually like that. I like that idea.
Like, was it like she saw them and was like, oh, can I get the signature? And then Rutansky was like, I'll get something else. And then
yeah, I'll sign something with my flesh pen.
Oh, okay. Now we're going too far. Rocky Mountains, totally okay. But what's weird is Rutansky comes in to talk to Martinez about the vandalized car, and, like, Medavoy just, like, butts in and makes it super awkward for no reason.
Yeah, it's super weird.
Like, it's probably... That one action meant, for me, like, okay, she's never gonna get back with you, because why the fuck would you even do that?
Yeah, because you're being, like, you're being an uber creep. You're being an uber creep right now. And like, she gave him to Martinez for... Well, she's an idiot. She shouldn't have given him to Martinez. Well, that's insensitive to women. I can't say she's an idiot. But she made a dumb move because she gave him to Martinez, who is Medavoy's partner. Mm-hmm. Like, why not give it to somebody else? Give it to, like, I don't know, like, Sipowicz or somebody. It's just a bullshit little thing that... You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It's just, there's like, don't give it to his best friend on the job. He's going to obviously stick his nose in, and his best friend's going to let him.
Yeah. Because Martinez is probably his biggest enabler, but, like, there's really no reason 100%. Why he should do those things. Like, it seems like if he had a level head, he'd be like, hey, maybe you should just relax and not get involved with this at all.
They are, like, those two together, if they did drugs, they would be Bubbles and that white guy from The Wire. Because they just enable each other until one of them dies. Bubbles. Spoilers for The Wire.
Wire spoilers. So in the meantime, Sipowicz and Simone try to track down who may have murdered this kid. They tell his mother. It's super sad. But
yeah.
She basically tells them, no, he's not into drugs. He's not into gangs. So they should look up... Look up his girlfriend.
Yeah, because the mom's not a huge fan of the girlfriend. The mom, because his name was what, Ricky, right?
I think so.
I think it's what his name. Yeah, because I remember his mom crying. And but anyways, yeah, no one's really a fan of his girlfriend. She's like, she's the one that got him into the life, I think. And they're not happy with her.
And his girlfriend, famous face. Elizabeth Rodriguez from Orange is the New Black. I don't know if anybody...
Which one is she in Orange is the New Black?
She's the woman that's the mother of the one woman that gets pregnant by the guard. Remember?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, she seems like she's only like 16 in this show.
Yeah, she seems super young.
But when I saw her face, I was like, is that who it is? And it 100% is who it is.
She's the
DOA's girlfriend. And we find out from her that he was a tagger. He tagged.
Yeah, he made art.
And at one point, she shows him a picture. Shows him a little bit of his work that's across the road.
Across where she's working, yeah.
And then Sipowicz. Actually, this was sent to me by Blank too, and I wrote it down. I just can't find it in my notes. She says he did beautiful work, and Sipowicz says, "Yeah, that's sensational."
That's such a, like, a dad comment.
It is a dad comment. It's 100%.
That's such a, like, I don't understand this form of creativity that I'm just going to be a dick about it.
Welcome
to being a dad.
So they run down some witnesses, and they get these two Italian guys, because the girlfriend said that the Italian, she called them, you know, a word that's a little racist towards Italians, saying they threatened to...
What'd she call them again?
Guineas.
That's right.
And they asked her, she said, those damn guineas, and then she's like, I hope they all die. And then, of course, because they're detectives, they're like, did he say any names? And she goes, no, they're just guineas. And I was like, well, I mean, they're people, they're human beings. They have names. So she said...
No, they're just guinea pigs.
So they... Little guinea
right,
pigs.
That's what guinea pigs means.
Threatening him for tagging.
Where did guinea come from, you think? You know?
I don't know. I mean, racist shit doesn't make sense when you really sit down and try and understand it. So they go after a couple of witnesses' testimony about some Italian guys, and they get these two dudes, and they're both young and stupid. Like, when they interview them, they're both, like, just dumb young dudes. One guy's like, no, you're just driving around. And Sipowicz takes his photo, and he said, what's that for? And Sipowicz says, that's for my scrapbook.
That's my favorite line.
And then they go to the other one, and he's just saying, I decline it. He just says that for everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just says, I decline that, I decline this. And he says, I decline all my rights. And Sipowicz says, say moron, Paul, and takes his picture. Like, there's a lot of classic Sipowicz lines in this episode, because then the two Italian guys get lawyered up because their boss, who's, they call him Cokehead Jimmy, I think
his name's Jimmy. He's the head of the
that's some crime family.
He's the head of, like, the mob in the town, in the area, basically.
And they all just openly mention that he's a cokehead. He brings his lawyer. The lawyer gets them out. And then he says, who are these witnesses that say my boy did this? And then Sipowicz is like, yeah, that's right. We'll give you all of our witnesses so you can go around and threaten them alphabetically.
And then the guy, Cokehead Jimmy, is like, when he comes in to get the kids, he, like, crosses the barrier, like, he doesn't really have any respect for the police. But him and Sipowicz's chemistry is really good. Like, they pick really good bad guys for Sipowicz to play off of in these next couple episodes.
Great. I wrote here, Greg bitches out again about Harold's car to Donna.
Oh, yeah. He's just a... That dude's a bitch.
Like, I never claimed to be an expert on relationships, but, like, if shit's rough, you don't just go by and see her to say annoying shit. Like, that doesn't seem like a good idea. Like, hey, I'll just go over and remind her of her ex-boyfriend's car situation, because I can, and I'm a dumb asshole. Like, it doesn't make any sense. She lets it slip that maybe she thinks that Medavoy is the one that messed with his car.
Yeah, she kind of, like, is like, what were you doing that night, Greg? And he rightfully so takes it as, like, hey, I'm crazy, but I'm not, like, that fucking crazy.
I may be crazy and kind of a dick, but I'm not that much of a dick.
And I may be, like, a psycho stalker, but I'm not that crazy.
After that, all the witnesses to the crime start, like, dropping out. The girl's father comes into the station and says, we're not doing this. And even Simone is like, were you threatened? And he's like, I'm not answering that. I'm not telling you what's going on. Just, you're not talking to my daughter. Then they have the Italian grocer. They have a translator there. It's a really good scene because they have a translator. And Sipowicz, he shows them the pictures, the photo array. The guy doesn't pick them out. And then he just goes, are you sure you didn't see any of these people, Bruno? I think his name was Bruno.
Yeah.
And the guy starts to speak Italian, and Sipowicz is like, don't translate, he knows what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then, like, kind of looks at him, he's like, I think you know more than you let on, Bruno. And kind of gives him, like, the, stop being an asshole and just tell us the truth, and of course he won't. And then Sipowicz says, you're finito, Bruno, get out of here.
Hey, too, Bruto.
Then Mr. Hoyt comes in.
Well, there's that scene in the beginning where, when they're at the deli and they're talking to Hoyt, Hoyt straight up goes, they were two Italian kids from the neighborhood, right, Bruno? I mean, Bruno saw him, and Bruno was standing right there, and he's like, oh no, Mr. He's been bad fucking racist accent. But he's like, oh no, Mr. Hoyt, me see, and he goes, no, 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 and he's like, and to kind of, like, give you the foreshadowing that he pulls this shit.
He's not going to be complicit. Hoyt comes in, and I really like his character because he's, like, so, like, he's so innocent to this entire thing. Because he just sits down and they put the photo array in front of him and he goes, oh, it's that guy? He's like, who is he? He's the guy that started hitting him. He's like, and that guy's the one that drove up and got out of the car. And then they're, like, Sipowicz and Simone are so shocked that he's, like, so cooperative. And then Bruno starts to leave and he goes, hey, Bruno. And then he walks out and he goes, did Bruno pick the same guys?
Yeah.
And it's like, he does not, he is so oblivious to what is happening, and it makes him so endearing to me, because he's just like, oh, okay, I'll just be back in my apartment painting shit. They even mention, like, oh, we need to set up a a lineup so that you can, like, point him out physically. And he said, oh, I can't do it tonight. I have a night job. And they're like, oh, can you get the time off? And he's like, not really. I need the money. Kind of just like, yeah. I don't have, like, I'm obviously a starving artist.
Yeah, that I think was their, I think that was their, like, attempt to be like, you know, artists are struggling. Like, the writer's attempt to be like, there's struggling artists everywhere. They can't just leave their jobs, you know, shit like that.
After, well, then Martinez and Medavoy actually sit on Ratansky's car at his bar. Because yeah. Medavoy wants to catch somebody doing it so he can clear his own name. And and Martinez...
He wants it so bad.
And, yeah, it also, I know the reason they do this is because, as a writer, you can't show a scene with, like, one character in a car. He has to be talking to someone for you to get anything out of it. So it's just... And there's two full scenes where it's just him and Martinez talking. And it's clear that Medavoy feels like Donna is slipping from him. But it's like his own doing. And Martinez at no point says... Well, he does say maybe you should just lay off for a while. But he doesn't go like, hey... I guess he's not a strong enough friend to be like, hey, you're causing this yourself.
Yeah.
You're making this so much... Like, look where you are right now. You're spending, after hours... to watch this dude's car to prove you're not the one doing it. Like, how
he's
is...
an enabler.
Yeah, like, he's true. He's an enabler. And they...
Like, when, okay. just to bring it back, I was just watching it, but when Bubs and that white kid, I forgot his name, I just saw it too. Anyways, but when LaWire, when Bubs and the white guy have to go to rehab because Bubs was able to get him off from all the charges of having drugs and shit...
Mm-hmm.
He had to go to like where you go to church and listen to an AA meeting or an NA meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, they go through the whole thing of like, oh, is anyone 9 months, 6 months, 3 months clean? And they're like, well, has anyone been clean for 24 hours? And then Bubs goes up there and grabs a chip. And then instead of being like encouraging and like saying the right things, the white guy charges him and goes, what are you doing? We shot up this morning. and then you can see this look on Bub's face. It's like, oh shit, like that's kind of what Martinez is. He never tells them the right thing. He's always telling them the fucked up stuff to help him like keep being a crazy person. I feel like he never tells it to him straight.
Martinez eventually leaves, I think, at like 2 in the morning. I don't think they say
he can't
exactly.
stay awake.
Yeah, he says like I gotta go sleep. I had a long day. He mentions that he has a side job and he wants to put money down for a house. And he's like, I don't think I could stay up for another 2 hours because bars close at 4. So I think I think it was that. Medavoy comes back.
It's weird. Some bars here close early.
The next scene with Medavoy, he's sleeping at his desk. Fancy is like, hey, Medavoy, what's up? And he's like, oh, sorry. Just catching 40 winks. Which is like, that's not okay to sleep at your desk. I don't know what thing you have to say that makes it okay.
Have you ever heard of the saying 40 winks?
No. Not really.
I don't get it. Like, I get the winks part, but, like, why 40?
Then when Donna comes in, because he came in early, he just rolls right up to her and said, it was a guy that met Ratansky after a game once, and Ratansky punched him, and now that he saw him in the bar, he messed with his car every night.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Donna's like, she can tell, she's like, I don't really care. I just want to get back to my work. I don't want to talk about Ratansky. I don't want to talk to you. I just want to be by myself.
But Medavoy keeps pushing it like a weirdo.
And
he's like a goddamn child who like won like a participation award and wants his like has to show everyone. It's like, come on, like, you win once every year, and you have to brag about it. Like, winners win all the time.
Winners win all the time. Donna says, we'll have to talk about this later, and then later in the episode, just rolls into Fancy's office and says, I got some vacation time, I would like to start using it, and I want to use it immediately.
That was really weird, but I get it. She's being the grown-up here, and is like, this situation doesn't seem great, so we're out.
Of course, Fancy gives it to her, but then she immediately talks to Greg and pulls him into the coffee room and says, so I'm going to go on vacation for a little while, and I'm not going to tell you where I'm going, and I'd rather not speak to you. Then she leaves, and Greg Medavoy kind of has his breakdown moment with Martinez.
He kind of starts freaking out like a little bitch.
He also, he like seems like he's on the verge of tears the whole time, which I'm not saying it's like not okay for men to cry, but with him it just seems like, I don't know, because his whole existence is complaining and stuff.
Yeah, his whole existence is annoying. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm reading some notes from Blank. Because he wanted to talk about how he says he thinks the guy really delivers on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
That you can really feel his angst. But he agrees with us that he's a weak character. And I mean, the way I see it, I think he's a good actor. I think he does a great job. It's just, like, his character sometimes is just really annoying. And if he existed in real life, like, you would not want to hang out with him at all.
Not at all.
He'd be the guy at work that you're like, oh my gosh, we have to invite Greg because we're inviting everybody at work.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, he's the guy at work that, like, smells and you don't want around.
I know exactly what you mean. That's a great example. The ending of the Simone Sipowicz case, they bring in Hoyt to do the lineup, and the lawyer goes, hey, aren't you Walter Hoyt, the artist? I think I've seen you around. And Sipowicz immediately goes, can I talk to you outside?
And, yeah. And,
and says, I'm going to put, he's like, if you try to threaten him one more time, I'm going to put my fist in your smudge. Then, like, they wrap up the lineup, and he doesn't threaten him again. He goes, hey, if anything happens to Walter Hoyt, I'm going to have every single, I don't know, office down at your clubs and your stores. I'm going to have the liquor license people down there. I'm going to have the fire marshal down there. There's rats that are going to be around. He's like, I'm going to make it impossible for you to do business if anything happens to Walter Hoyt.
Yeah, he kind of goes off on him.
And even Sipowicz is like, hey, did you break bad with that lawyer? And he goes, yeah, a lot of good it'll do.
Yeah.
And they convince Walter Hoyt that he should probably go to a motel or something. Because even Walter doesn't understand, but he's like, after some talking, he's like, oh, I guess I'm in danger.
Yeah, he's not processing the whole situation.
And then once he does, he kind of has this like really dour reaction to it, like, oh shit, my life's going to be turned upside down and all I'm doing is the right thing. And he's like, I'm not doing anything wrong. I just now have to upend my life because of these assholes. But the big thing in this episode, the thing that was very strange for me, because I forgot this would happen in one of these episodes, Sylvia has her purse snatched, I think on the train. Did she say it was on the train?
I thought she just said on the street.
And it turns out, like, it's not that big a deal. The purse was found in a gin mill later in the episode, is what they say, with the keys in it and everything in. Sipowicz and Sylvia have a talk on the couch, because Sylvia has not been acting normally. And it comes out that Sylvia was once purse snatched when she was in college and she was sexually assaulted.
Don't they go and say it's rape?
No, I think she says sexually assaulted.
Okay.
I know they use the word rape later because after they have that heart-to-heart in the bedroom where she... Uh-huh. It's a really great scene because they play off each other so well, but also because Sipowicz says, like, this doesn't change anything, my feelings about you at all. She says, like, I never wanted to tell you because I didn't want you to think of me differently. And he's like, why would I think of you differently? You're beautiful. And they have the heart-to-heart because that scene's, like, right in the middle of the episode, like, the super heavy-weighty scene. But then down the line, when they talk again, they're talking in the, like, downstairs of the station house. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I went to that rape center. I think that's when she said rape. It's like rape counseling center. And she's like, I met with the person I met with those years ago. And she's like, there's a meeting for guys, too, if you feel like you should go to it. And Sipowicz has that hesitation he has to everything, where he's like, do you think I need to go to them?
Yeah.
And then she's like, only if you want to.
She wasn't saying he had to go. She was just, like, merely suggesting it. Mm-hmm. And he turned it into this, like, he gets all weirded out about it. He gets all Sipowicz about it.
But it was cool because, like, in an episode that this aired, 314.95, it was such a, like, Because, of course, you don't want to... I don't know what the word is. You don't want to lessen, like, the importance of... Wow, how do I put this without sounding stupid? And it's impossible. You don't want to demean the idea of rape.
Too late.
You don't want to demean the idea of rape and sexual assault. So, like, when they brought it up and it was, like, really well done and the actors did a really good job. And then afterwards she shows, like, oh, she's not a... Even though, like, there's problems with using this language, like, she's not a victim to this idea anymore. She's going to a counselor and... She's, like, getting back into normal life, and she's getting her future husband involved, and, like, they're... It seems like a really good example of how to deal with that type of situation in a show that was done more than 10 years ago. 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it was... I really dug it. And also, they just killed it in that scene. Sharon Lawrence and Dennis Franz killing it, as usual.
Yeah, they have a good chemistry, and I think, like we talked about earlier, that's why they kind of ignored Kelly's ex-wife and focused on that.
Because they're much better. And from what I read, Caruso's a dick.
Yeah.
And they didn't want him on set anyway. So when they got a chance to get rid of him, they.
But there's a lot of things. He's a dick. One, he also wanted way more money. And they were like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, like, who do you think you are? Like, you're not the reason this show is good. And he was like, basically, I guess I am. And then shit didn't happen.
And shit didn't happen for him, which was even better.
Yeah. They let him go and the TV show got better. And no one fucking remembered him.
Anyways, before we wrap up here, I'm reading through the stuff we got from Blank. Blanking stuff on Twitter, and he mentioned a famous face which I didn't recognize. The guy that played Frank Piscata.
Yeah. He's in The Sopranos.
He's in the Sopranos. He's also in Goodfellas and Godfather Part 2.
No, that's what I meant. Sorry, I remember him at Goodfellas. Yeah. I do remember him from Goodfellas. I recognize him for sure.
Goodfellas and Godfather Part 2. So I mean,
he's in every fucking Italian mob movie and as a side character because that's who he is.
Do you think like all the Italian mob actors like know each other and are super cool with each other? Like, they must be, right?
The guys... Oh, they have to know each other. They have to, especially if you've made it, all the times you've had to sit in the casting room with someone who looked exactly like you, you probably know someone.
I'm looking up his IMDb right now. He was also in The Wedding Singer and Little Nicky.
I remember him in The Wedding Singer, because he, I think, plays the dad at one of the weddings. I think it's the one where Adam Sandler is, like, singing the song Love Stinks. He's, I think, the dad. Well, he's at that one, or he's at another one. I know, but I think he was the dad at one of the weddings. I do remember that.
Well, Frank Severo, famous face. He was there with Elizabeth Rodriguez from Orange is the New Black. Anyway.
That blew me away about her. I didn't know that was her.
I think she was also in something else other than Orange is the New Black that people may know, and I don't. I also looked up the guy that played Walter Hoyt. His name's Michael David Lally, Lally. And it turns out he was not in much that we know.
Hoyt, yeah.
He was in Basic.
I remember looking him up.
He was in Basic Instinct and then a bunch of weird movies I've never heard of before. Oh shit. She was in Logan. That's right.
Oh, I didn't see Logan.
That's why. Yeah, she's also in Logan. Anyway, NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBlastPodcast.com and also associated with Mixed Bag of Hats Network, MixedBagOfHats.com. If you go there or AstroBlastPodcast.com, you can see every episode for free. NYPD Blue is not currently streaming on any streaming service like Netflix or Hulu. Used to be on Amazon, but they got rid of them. And anyway, Kyle, do you have anything to say before we leave?
No, not really.
Alrighty. Well, have a good one, everybody. Hello, everybody. Before we end this episode, I wanted to address something that Blank had sent us in his private Twitter message. He mentioned, why would it be weird that Donna and Greg are in a relationship when Sipowicz and Kostas are in a relationship, and wouldn't that actually be more of an issue because she's an ADA as opposed to Donna, who's just a civilian? And I would say that it's probably a good idea that they kept that under wraps, mostly because of Greg rather than the situation. We've seen on the show that everybody's pretty loosey-goosey about relationships and taking time off and things you can and cannot do in proper procedure. But Greg is kind of a child. And as we've seen with his relationship with Donna, it exploded and imploded, and now they don't have a great receptionist because of Greg's ridiculousness. So I think that's the reason why it's not okay for them to be dating, but it's okay for Sipowicz and Sylvia to be dating, because, you know, they're adults, and Greg doesn't act like one. If you want us to address something that you're thinking about, just go to our Twitter, at AsherBrosPod, send a private message or a public tweet, whatever you want. I mean, I'll address it and talk about it on the show. I mean, I'll try to keep it into the episode. But of course, as you may or may not know, we record these in bundles. So we may try to get 4 episodes done in a day. And then over time, I edit them down and then release them once every 2 weeks. So by the time you get to us, we may have already recorded the episode together. But I try to edit them very close to their drop date. So if you send a message about a specific episode, it's possible for me to talk about them at the end of the episode, much like this. So, if you have any burning questions or want to talk about something in the episode that you found crazy, or you know a famous face, or whatever, you can just drop it in at Asher Bros Pod, and we'll talk about it. Thanks for listening, thanks for watching NYPD Blue, and have a good one.